Good morning. Let's turn to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And today we are coming to this part of chapter 11, talking about a good man. Let us recall a bit. Chapter 1, the disciples waited for the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, the pouring of the Holy Spirit. And many things, many exciting things happened. 3,000 repented, baptized, and then followed by another 5,000. The church was increasing. It could have crossed 10,000 or beyond when we reach chapter 11. But back in chapter 8, the persecution came. They were scattered. So they may not be able to worship like us today, openly, together, but they were scattered. And the last part of chapter 11 recorded someone who is special. In verse 24, the Bible mentioned Barnabas was a good man. Do you notice the Bible seldom refer men as good? In fact, when someone came to Jesus and said, "Good teacher, tell me." Actually, Jesus did not answer his question, but asked him, "Why you call me good? If I am good, I am not a teacher. If I am a teacher, I cannot be good." Referring to good and man, these two words cannot be put together because we are all sinners by nature, except Jesus. But the Bible referred to Barnabas was a good man. And let us look at some of his background. This name was mentioned way back in chapter 4, 36. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas. And the Bible gives us the meaning of Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. What he did, what he said, were really an encouragement to many. And for his background, he was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, a Levite living in a Gentile place. And what was special to this man? He sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I think in our life we buy and sell many things, even property, land and houses, but all for our good and our use. But this man is special. He did something many people do, but the consequences were different. He took the money and laid it at the apostles' feet, gave it for the ministry, for the church. Just now, the choir brought us a beautiful song. It's not just the melody, but the word. I do hope the words touch you in some way. When they said, "All that I have, accept and use. And my all, I give." Would you say amen to that? Or it's easy to say, but we do otherwise. But this man was different. He is an encouragement to many, and not just for money, materials, property, but he did something very unusual as well. If we go to chapter 9, verses 26 and 27, when Saul has come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, And they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe that he was a disciple. I think we can understand. Someone with a track record of persecuting Christian, he even applied for warrant of arrest to arrest whoever confessed that they are Christian, they are Christ followers. And Paul would arrest them and put them in prison. But in chapter 9, this Saul encountered Jesus, and he changed. But knowing his past, the disciples did not believe he was a disciple. They just simply could not accept this man had turned to Christ. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he has seen the Lord who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, I urge many of you, really, not just some of you, many of you, will do what Barnabas did. It's very easy in our life, in our workplace, and even in the church, we condemn. We see someone make a mistake, and then we condemn for the rest of his life. We preach forgiveness, but we don't quite practice it. I think we need to make a turn. And Barnabas showed us an example. He took Saul to the apostles. In fact, he was taking a great risk. What if Saul was not really repent? Or worse, he may be a spy. And then he joined the inner circle. He knew in and out, and he could do something very damaging to the Christian circle. But Paul Barnabas believed in Saul, who had really repented and turned to Christ, because he witnessed this man preach boldly in the name of Christ. I long to see senior pastors bringing up the junior pastors, train them, give them opportunity, recommend him. I was a result of this encouraging work. When I was very young, nobody knew me, but the senior pastor introduced me to other churches and recommended me to be their preacher for retreat, for conferences. That was how I started. And I long to do the same. In fact, I have been doing all these years. If I receive an invitation, sorry, I have no time. I already have something in my book. I cannot take in the invitation. I always ask, could I recommend you someone? You may not know him, but as far as I know, he's good. And many were tested through this and became good preacher, even better than me. And we should open this up. And of course, Barnabas and Paul, they were human beings, just like you and me. Of course, they were very special in many ways. But in terms of temperament, way of doing, reacting to things, there are many common places. In chapter 15, 36, recorded something interesting. While Paul and Barnabas were sent out for mission work, and sometimes later, after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brother in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take them with them John, called Mark. That was a good suggestion. That is a good strategy. You preach. After that, many people turned to the Lord. A church was built. And Paul moved on to other places. He did the same thing. Preach, build a church, and move on. So one day he told Barnabas, "Let's go back to these places and to visit them, to strengthen them." But Barnabas had a suggestion. "Take Mark with us." But Paul thought best not to take with them one who had withdrawn from them and had gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and went to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed. There was a sharp disagreement. And I believe that was a true record of the Bible. It's okay we disagree with one another. And as far as I'm concerned, it's okay you disagree with me, even argue with me. I would say I will try my very best to listen. Doesn't mean that at the end I would agree with you, because disagreement is disagreement. But many things is okay. We disagree on some issue, no problem. But over here, the disagreement is simply because Barnabas wanted to take Mark with them. And Paul had a good reason. This young man, unreliable, he followed us and halfway he left. And that affected our mission. So he should not be part of us. And after that, they departed. You go this way, I go the other way. And Paul took Silas and went the other direction. But that is not an end to the whole issue. They departed. They did great things for the Lord. But praise God, they were still in Christ Jesus. And they are remembering one another, each other, and working with each other. If we look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 10, and this verse gave us further some clues of what happened and also the result. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. And this gives us some reason why Paul and Barnabas had sharp disagreement. The Bible did not give us details. The Bible did not record something like Paul said, "Because Mark was your cousin, that is the reason you want to take him." And if we bring in other opinions or bias, because you are giving opportunity for your own people, something like that, then the argument cannot come to a settlement. But in Colossians, knowing that the very fact, Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, and Paul wrote to the people in Colossians, saying that concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And I praise God for that. Yes, we have some disagreement in the past, and people know about it. So for the people in Colossians, they love Paul. But if Mark came to them, should we entertain him? If we take care of this young man and offended Paul, not quite nice, isn't it? But with this assurance from Paul, if he comes to you, welcome him. What a love demonstrated in the body of Christ. I do hope that we continue that. Accept one another. Give someone who make mistake another opportunity to do good. And I studied management. If in your company someone had done a mistake, would it better to fire this person or give him another chance? It's easy to get rid of this person, full stop. But if another chance was given, the possibility of this person become a far, far better worker is very high. So you have to weigh that. Don't just fire. And if this man is still teachable, he may become, because of the experience of your kindness and compassion or whatever, he became a great helper to you and your business. Think about that. And let's go back to chapter 11 and look at Barnabas. There were many good reasons that the Bible said Barnabas was a good man. Verse 24, this man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And these are the criteria mentioned in chapter 6. Remember, when the apostles wanted to appoint someone, and they asked the people, you elect among you seven to take care of the daily supply to the people. And these people should be full of the Holy Spirit, full of knowledge, and with good reputation. And they elected seven people full of faith as well. And you see, Barnabas fixed all these criteria. And next month, we are going to elect our vestry members. Bear in mind of this. We have to look among us, these people. And then a great many people were added to the Lord. And these are the consequences. If we do not want to start on the right footing, we may not be able to see the result we ask for. And then verses 25 and 26. After that, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. Let's look at this. This is important. Verse 25. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. It's not a passive act. It's not by chance. Saul came and Barnabas met him. And then after interviewing him, and he said, okay, I give you a chance. It's not that. He took the trouble, traveled a long distance, could be from Cyprus. He need to take a boat ride, if you look at the map, and go to Tarsus to look for this man with a terrible past record. And then he found him, brought him to Antioch, also another long distance. If you travel by coach today, about 1 hour ride. It may take half a day to walk. And I do believe Barnabas may have to persuade Saul, come along with me. It's not easy. Saul may say, I give up. Nobody will accept me. I know my past record. Just let me hide somewhere. I don't want to see so-called Christian. They would not accept me. Barnabas could have persuaded him, come with me. Let us work together. And he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. A whole year under study with Barnabas. Paul had very good educational background. He was like graduated from Harvard of that time. But now, under this teacher, this encourager, for 1 year, he taught and met the church. And what was the result? In Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. What do we address someone who believes in Jesus? I think we use Christian commonly. Then may I ask you, is Christian the status higher or disciples higher? If someone addresses you, oh, you are a member of St. Stephen's, you are a disciple of Christ, I think you feel a bit paisey. No, I'm just a lay person, a nominal Christian. I do attend services, but you may humbly say, no, disciples, the title is too heavy for me. Because maybe in our mind, we feel disciples should be higher than Christian. Isn't it right? But if you look at this verse, verse 26, disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. During the time from chapter 2 all the way to chapter 11, whoever believed in Jesus, they were called disciples. And Jesus, in his great commission, commanded, you go and make disciples of all nations. But why change to Christian? Isn't Christian a very common term? Not quite. You have to understand the background. During Paul's time, in the early church time, people were ruled by the Romans. And many Jews were under captive. They were slaves. Do you know what is slave? It's not just employee. It's not just maid or helper. Slave is something very different. The master could sell them away. Put them in the market. They have to stand there, chained up, and all naked. For the buyer to inspect which one to buy. And once the buyer decided to buy this slave, he took him, and he has all the right over this person's life. He can beat him up. He can throw him in prison or even kill him. There is no legal responsibility whatsoever. There is no human right at all. And they were supposed to do all the hard work, dirty work. If you were a slave, would you run and escape? I think every day you will think, how can I run away? But there is impossible for you to run away. Do you know why? When the buyer bought a slave, the seller have to engrave a mark on his forehead. Let's say the master name is Peter. The slave's forehead will be engraved, slave of Peter. So wherever you run away, people will know you run away from your master, Peter. And they will arrest you and give you back to Peter. And let's say the short form of slave of Peter is Peterian. You belong to Peter. And at that time, all the disciples thought, we are redeemed by Christ. And we are his servant. And we are willing to serve him like a slave. And therefore, we want to call ourselves Christians. Slave of Christ. Christ Jesus, you are our master. With this name, there is total surrender. I am your slave. I am here to take your order, your command. And then, after that, after serving a year together with Paul, in chapter 13, verse 1, in the church of Antioch, there were a gathering of the apostles, prophets, and teachers. And while they were worshiping and fasting, they received the prompting of the Holy Spirit, who says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And praise God, they were sent officially to do the work in church planting. And Paul, since then, carried out the apostolic ministry as an apostle. And Barnabas remained as a teacher and encourager. And he was a great companion with Paul. And dear brothers and sisters, as we move from Acts from the beginning right up to this part, and this is appropriate, we just celebrated our 108th anniversary, and we look forward to the coming election of vestry, and we have great plan for next year and of course the year after, where we celebrate 110th anniversary. And all this, we need the people like Paul and Barnabas. And I do believe among us, many Barnabas are here. You can be an encouragement to others. Encouraging others to serve, bringing these people to your leader, to the pastors, so that we can serve together. And we want to see great things being done among us. So let us receive the encouragement and be an encouragement to others as well. Let us pray then. Lord, we bow before you and give you thanks for people like Barnabas. And we want to give you thanks, for there are many among us who are like Barnabas. They give willingly, sacrificially, and they bring up others, and they really forgive and give second chance to others. We thank you for all these Barnabas among us, and we ask you change us so that more of us can be like Barnabas. So Lord, when we say all that I have accept and use, and we say my all I give, Lord, we want to say it from our heart. Take and use us, each and every one of us, for your glory. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.
Shall we all stand as we declare the Apostles' Creed on page 22 of our Blue Prayer Book?